Well, good morning. Before I forget, I wanted to mention that there aren't study guides for small groups tonight. So small group leaders, if you could just take some notes to maybe ask just three or so questions about the sermon tonight for small groups, since there is no guide. I also want to say thank you to everyone who donated items and money to the family that the youth group shopped for. We did that Friday night. We had our lock-in, and then we went shopping for the family, came back, wrapped everything, and then I'll be delivering those to the mother of that family on Tuesday. So it's greatly appreciated, and I know that it'll mean a lot to the families. Got it. All right, well, Dion and Christy are out of town this weekend, and they'll be coming back in later this afternoon sometime. So this morning, we are finishing up our series on the pastoral epistles, and we'll be spending most of our time today in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll get to that in a little bit. First of all, though, I need a volunteer, and so I'm going to ask Emily Lisa if you would come on up here. Today we're talking about enduring hardships on our journey of faith. And so the question is, what kind of hardships? And I'm going to get that here in just a little bit. But first of all, let's do this. All right. You need to stand right there. That's fine. All right. First of all, I'm going to load you up with a few of these. So you hold these. You got more, so make room.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
You volunteer?
Three more? You can do that. All right. You got that? Okay. So what happens is, the problem is, we get loaded up with all kinds of hardships, and we get our hands full, and these things, they fill up our lives completely. And so then what happens is God says, okay, here, this is the important thing. I know you've got all that stuff that you've filled your own life with, but this is the important thing. And so what's important is for you to make sure that you catch this. And so God gives us this. And that's what happens. You can leave him there. You can go and get us down. Thank you. All right. Yeah, you're good. Just, let's go. Thank you. So the problem is, though, God says, here, this is important. He gives it to us, and then we miss out. And the problem is, not only do we miss out on what God wants us to have, but sometimes we end up losing everything else in the process. These things that are scattered around here, that are these hardships that we deal with, these things pull us down. And as believers, my question is, how many of you have experienced such hardships and things as these, as apathy, adversity, brokenness, boredom, complacency, conformity, division, discouragement, despair, disputes, distractions, and a number of other difficulties? How many of you have experienced that in your own personal spiritual lives? Because these things, they rob us of our faith in God, and they rob us of our belief that the church can make a difference in the world today. I'm going to say that again. These things that fill our lives, they rob us of our faith in God, and they rob us of the belief that the church can make a difference in the world today. They can leave us feeling empty and useless in the kingdom of God, and they can render us, in a way, ineffective and totally burned out as disciples, because the hardships hurt. And sometimes these hardships come and they hurt to the point that they seem almost unbearable at times. And Paul knew it, because he had experienced it in his own life, and that's what we're going to read here in a little bit. He knew how important it was for Timothy to know this and to expect this. Paul was compelled to encourage Timothy in this letter to be strong, to work hard, and to endure hardships. And Paul gives the same encouragement to both Titus and to Timothy in his epistle, so it's obvious that it was important, and it seems to be a certain aspect to be expected in this journey as disciples. And then these sections of these letters where he says this multiple times, the important thing that comes out of it is the question of why. Why should we endure these hardships? Why should we put up with this? because it's more than worth it, and it's our calling as disciples of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at now. It says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Rather, they try to please their commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." It's easy to read this in 2 Timothy, understanding the hardships that we're going to face as disciples of Christ. And it's easy to get to a point where we feel empowered to endure every struggle that we face. And that is true. I mean, that's part of what he's doing, is encouraging us to endure. But we have to be careful not to forget that we can't do this on our own. Because I think a lot of times we try to do that. We try to get through these things on our own by putting all of our emotions and our knowledge into this and what we can do. And that's not enough. We can try to do that, but all it's going to do is lead to more hurt. And it's going to lead to more weariness, and we're going to get burned out faster. Only with God's Spirit and his empowerment can we do this. And we need to make sure that we're always fully relying on him for that strength and for that power. We had our lock-in this last Friday night, or two nights ago. And so I thought, what else, what better illustration than to talk about a lock-in for endurance? Staying up and pulling all-nighter, at least for me, it takes at least a little bit of endurance. But I had a little bit of help, too, and I'm not sure that I would say that it was God's Spirit that would help me stay awake, but I definitely had enough caffeine and plenty of sugar to make sure that it helped me stay awake. But really, we need help to keep going. We need help to endure, because we are to endure the hardships of life, and we're going to do this alone, and hopefully also as a community of faith, we're going to endure, but it's God who gives us our purpose and our reason, and it's God who gives us the support and the power. So chapter 2 here in 2 Timothy, it's pretty straightforward. You kind of get what you see. There's not a lot to break down, but I want to kind of take it apart in a few verses and talk about them. So if you look at the first couple of verses, it's just simply an exhortation to Timothy to be strong in Christ, to pass this message on to other people that it can be spread into the world. Next few verses, verse 3 through 7, he makes it pretty clear that there are some things that are worth suffering for, and there are other things that are simply a waste of time. How many of you have ever seen somebody who brings suffering on themselves, but then goes and complains about this righteous suffering or suffering for the name of Jesus? And you kind of look at the situation, you think, actually, I think more you're just filling your own life with drama. And you can call it suffering for Christ, but sometimes I think we fill our lives with drama. And I remember one time I heard this street corner preacher saying, he was talking about how he's being persecuted by these people that are passing by, and he's suffering for the name of Christ, because these people are coming through and these things to him, and he even had the police come talk to him about not disturbing the peace, and he called it suffering in the name of Jesus. And I remember thinking when I was hearing that, I was like, I think more than anything, it's because you're kind of coming off as being annoying, and some of the things you're saying are just kind of being a jerk. And I think that sometimes we can do that we bring this on ourselves and say, I'm suffering for the name of Jesus. But Paul says, no, there's some things that are worth suffering for. There's other things that are, you're just wasting your time. He says, don't get caught up in civilian affairs. Don't cheat in the race. Don't waste your energy, but instead work hard and focus higher and on things that have real eternal value. Verses 8, 9, and 10, it makes it obvious that these struggles are specifically tied to our efforts and our faith as followers of Christ. They're not necessarily talking about just the everyday struggles of life and the fact that we live in an imperfect world. I mean, I do think there's a difference, and I think that's worth noting. But these verses is also, it's where Paul tells Timothy why he suffers. And in a way, it's almost why he's honored to suffer. He says he does it because of, and he does it through the resurrection of Jesus, the power of God's word, and the sake of all believers. It's about having a heart that's set on the kingdom of God. It causes people to do things that aren't normal. It causes us to go against what society says sometimes. If we truly are disciples and we're following his kingdom, then his kingdom sometimes asks us to do things that are completely opposite of what we would normally do. And it changes the way that you view blessings, people, the earth, hardships. It changes the way we see everything. And knowing that Timothy must have looked up to Paul as kind of this fatherly figure, and he greatly respected him, he sees them as this role model. And so if Timothy desires to be a man of God like Paul is, then he needs to know what to expect. And that when hardships do inevitably come his way, it's a common theme in a disciple's life, and he needs to see that and know that it will be okay and it will be worth it. And finally, in verses 11 through 13, this is most likely an early church song, or at least part of it certainly seems to be that way. But the beauty of this early song is that God never gives up, and he's always at work. We have a powerful and a very present God, one who is always faithful to his people. He's always faithful, and it's that faithfulness that we can count on and always live by. I could have taken any of the Psalms, not any, but there's a lot of Psalms that talk about the faithfulness of God. There's a lot of Psalms that talk about how he is present and how he is faithful to his people no matter what. And so I chose Psalm 100 just because I think it's a beautiful psalm that speaks about that. It speaks of the faithfulness of God and therefore his worthiness. So Psalm chapter 100 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." I want everyone here to be encouraged this morning. I want you to be encouraged by God's faithfulness. And I want you to be encouraged to endure because of that faithfulness. I'm certainly not going to promise you that it's going to be easy. The life of a disciple, I can't say it's going to be easy because God never makes that promise. And in fact, if anything, it might be quite the opposite. But I can promise you that it's worth it, that it's going to be eternally worth it. And if I can promise you also that you're not going to be alone in the process. Because with this church here by your side and with God all around you, I know that you can persevere, and I know that, again, it's going to be worth it in the end. Switching gears a little bit, I also think that the 2 Timothy here, Paul's also speaking not only to individuals, but also to the church as a whole. Too often I think that we allow fear to limit us. We're afraid of hardship and stretching and pain. So to avoid that, sometimes the bride of Christ will sometimes bring new hardships on herself, such as apathy and distractions, and sometimes a bit of an identity crisis. But we have a higher calling to live for as the church, as this church here at Reynoldsburg, as the church just worldwide. We have a higher calling to live for. We have a purpose. And we have to be able to expect hardships to come if we're really living our purpose. But we also have to know that that doesn't give us an excuse to be idle. Hardships didn't stop Jesus, and they didn't stop Paul. They experienced extreme trials, probably a lot more than we're going to experience. We experience a lot of trials in our faith, but we don't experience the same kind of trials that they did. Jesus died, and Paul talks in this about how he's been chained and how he's suffered and been imprisoned. I don't think any of us in here have experienced that because of our faith, but there are brothers and sisters in other countries who do have to experience that. And so we don't have an excuse to be idle. As a church, we don't have an excuse to say the hardships, it's too much, I can't do it, I'm going to give up and quit. We don't have an excuse. I don't know how many of you have heard of or ever seen David Bowden's poetry, but it's really powerful. And I think that this specific video here in a second really speaks in part of what Paul's trying to say to Timothy here. So let's watch this short video.
Poets and martyrs, disciples and daughters, elders and brothers, Christians and lovers, pastors and teachers, prophets and preachers, I write to you, leaders, that you might gather the weapons from your armories, grab your pulpits and mics, your stages and lights, your buildings and pews, your resources be used, for the wife has been bruised, her body has been beaten and bludgeoned, she's cheated on the man she once pursued, for the bride has now forgotten her husband. I write to you, for you have been summoned that you might sacrifice your church services and your functions, your evening worship and your luncheons. Bring your members by the dozens, no matter your shortcomings or dysfunctions. You have been summoned to bear this insistence that God wants to use every part of your existence, and none of you are any different. If your church is slowing or resurgent, older but an infant, you are part of the resistance to stand your ground against the armies of apathy rising against us. I write to you, for I see Christians, but I don't see Christ. I see people living but not surrendering life. I see large buildings that cannot see strife. I see free salvation that is way underpriced. I see a body called to poverty by wealth be enticed. And I know you see it too. Our allegiance has been spliced, unsatisfied with the riches of the world when God's kingdom should have sufficed. I write to you who are soon to be revolutionaries to encourage you in the cause you will be influencing. I write to you to tell you that you have all that you need. And that's not another book, conference, facility, or degree. It's not a bigger budget, membership, network, or building. For Christ conquered death with only a tree. And if you have more than that, how much more will he want to see? You see, you have all that you need. For you have breath, feet, blood, tears, pulse, hands, eyes, ears. You have brothers and sisters, resources and givers, a world full of sin and a God that is bigger. You have all that you need, and you will need all that you have. For the life influenced by Christ can't be given in halves. It will not spare a drop. It will not scare or stop, but will sell all it's got for that treasure in the empty lot. You will need all you have, for you know the cost. It may cause you to toss away your money, your house, your cars, your clothes. The cause may cause you to lose all of those. But what if it costs your reputation, position, your job, and ambitions? Your identity, decisions, respect, your best intentions. You will need all you have, for you have all that you need, and all you have is all he needs, for all you need is all he has. With great urgency, I write this muse, for the one thing we do not have is an excuse. We have a mighty God who became poor and bruised. What we do not have is an excuse. We have the Holy Spirit inhabited for God's own use. What we do not have is an excuse. We have a sure resurrection, the power of death diffused. What we we do not have is an excuse. We have the words of life, the greatest of news. What we do not have is an excuse. That is why I write to you this insisting issuance, that you might lead with great prudence to a world full of darkness. May we be a holy nuisance as we lead the cause of Christ through the power of his influence.
Maybe one of the additional reasons that Paul writes this to Timothy is simply to remind him that he doesn't have an excuse. Paul says that he endured, he talks about the things he endured, and he says Christ endured even more. So should any less be expected of Timothy? Or should any less be expected of us as individuals or as a body? It's easy to get down and feel sorry for ourselves because of trouble that's come our way, because of our allegiance to Christ. And I'm not at all being dismissive of pain that's being experienced that I can't empathize with, because I know that that's present here in this room, that there's people that are going through things and feeling hurts that I can't understand. But let's not bring new hardships in faith simply to avoid others. If we're going to suffer, let's make sure that it's suffering for the name of Christ and it's not suffering in vain for ourselves. We're called to suffer and to endure for the sake of the kingdom, and that's going to come in many different forms. And we're called to bring hope and light and faith and peace and justice and love, because that's what Jesus did, and he did it to the point of dying on the cross. He did it and was beaten and bruised, and then he died and gave his life for us. And the example of Christ and his Spirit give us the power to, as David Bowden said, to live through his influence. So we truly don't have any excuse to give up and to quit, because we are called to endure any hardships that come our way. So may you carry on and push through struggles in your life of faith. But more than that, may you experience life abundantly and experience life to the fullest through Jesus, the way that he wants us to live. And I want to encourage you to use this time now, that if you want to share your joyful times or your dark times with us as a body, whatever you're experiencing right now, this is a great time to come and share that with all of us. Or if you have not yet begun your journey of faith, but if you have a desire to do that, then we are more than happy to accept you and baptize you into Christ today. But whatever you need or whatever you want to offer to us, you can use this time now as we stand and sing together.